Namo Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 28, page 817. Translation, sounds good together. Ayukta Prakrita Stabda Shato Naish Kritkiko Lasaha Ishadi Dirga Sutricha Karta Tamasa Uchite. Translation. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunctions of the scripture, who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others, and who is lazy, always morose and procrastinating, is said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. Text 29. Buddher bedam dutesh chaiva gunatas trividam shunu prochamanam asheshena pratakthvena dananjaya. Translation. O winner of wealth, now please listen as I tell you in detail of the different kinds of understanding and determination according to the three modes of material nature. Text 30. Pravritim cha nivritim cha karya karyet bhaya bhaye bandham moksham cha ya veti buddhi saparta sattviki. Translation. O son of Prita, that understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. Text 31. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha ayatavat pragyanati buddhisa partha rajasi. Translation. O son of Prita, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. Text 32. Adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasavrita savartandi paritangscha buddhisa partha tamasi. Translation. That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion, under the spell of illusion and darkness, and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance. Text 33. Dritya yaya dharayate mana pranindriya kriya yogena ya bicharainya jiti sa partha sattviki. Translation. O son of Prita, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. Text 34. Yaya tu dharma kamartan dritya dharayate arjuna prasangena pralaktangshi driti sa partha rajasi. Translation. But that determination by which one holds fast to fruitive results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification, is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna. Text 35. Yaya svapnam bhayam shokam vishadam madam eva cha navimunchati durmedha triti sa partha tamasi. Translation. And that determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness, and illusion, such unintelligent determination, O son of Prita, He's in the mode of darkness. Text 36. Sukam tvadanim trividam shunume bharatarshava abhyasad ramate yatra dukantam cha nikachchati. Translation. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Text 37. Yattadagre visham iva pariname mitopamam tatsukam satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. Translation. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. And finally, text 38. Vishayendraya samyogad yattadagre mritopamam pariname visham eva tatsukam rajasam smitam. Translation. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. Going back to 28.
Translation. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunctions of the scripture, who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others, and who is lazy, always morose, and procrastinating, is said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. Purport. In the scriptural injunctions, we find what sort of work should be performed and what sort of work should not be performed. Those who do not care for those injunctions engage in work not to be done, and such persons are generally materialistic. They work according to the modes of nature, not according to the injunctions of the scripture. Such workers are not very gentle, and generally they are always cunning and expert in insulting others. They are very lazy, even though they have some duty, they do not do it properly, and they put it aside to be done later on. Therefore they appear to be morose, they procrastinate. Anything which can be done in an hour, they drag on for years. Such workers are situated in the mode of ignorance.
Text 29.
O winner of wealth, now please listen as I tell you in detail of the different kinds of understanding and determination according to the three modes of material nature. Now,
purport.
Now, after explaining knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower in three different divisions according to the modes of material nature, the Lord is explaining the intelligence and determination of the worker in the same way.
Okay.
Text 30. O son of Prita, that understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. Purport. Performing actions in terms of the directions of the scriptures is called pravritti, or executing actions that deserve to be performed. And actions which are not so directed are not to be performed. One who does not know the scriptural directions becomes entangled in the actions and reactions of work. Understanding which discriminates by intelligence is situated in the mode of goodness.
31.
O son of Prita, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion.
Next.
That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion, under the spell of illusion and darkness, and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance. Purport. Intelligence in the mode of ignorance is always working the opposite of the way it should. It accepts religions which are not actually religions and rejects actual religion. Men in ignorance understand a great soul to be a common man and accept a common man as a great soul. They think truth to be untruth and accept untruth as truth. In all activities, they simply take the wrong path. Therefore, their intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. Text 33. O son of Prita, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. Purport. Yoga is a means to understand the Supreme Soul. One who is steadily fixed in the Supreme Soul with determination, concentrating one's mind, life, and sensory activities on the Supreme, engages in Krishna consciousness. That sort of determination is in the mode of goodness. The word avyabhicharinya is very significant, for it indicates that persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are never deviated by any other activity. Text 34. But that determination by which one holds fast the fruit of results in religion, economic development, and sense gratification is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna. Purport. Any person who is always desirous of fruit of results in religious and economic activities, whose only desire is sense gratification, and whose mind, life, and senses are thus engaged, is in the mode of passion. Text 35. And that determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness, and illusion, such unintelligent determination, O son of Prita, is in the mode of darkness. Purport. It should not be concluded here that a person in the mode of goodness does not dream. Here, dream means to sleep, means too much sleep. Dreaming is always present, either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Dreaming is a natural occurrence. But those who cannot avoid oversleeping, who cannot avoid the pride of enjoying material objects, and who are always dreaming of lording it over the material world, and whose life, mind, and senses are thus engaged, are considered to have determination in the mode of ignorance. Text 36.
Are they here in the kitchen?
Hare Krishna Jashoda. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Purport. A conditioned soul tries to enjoy material happiness again and again. Thus, he chews the chewed. But sometimes, in the course of such enjoyment, he becomes relieved from material entanglement by association with a great soul. In other words, a conditioned soul is always engaged in some type of sense gratification. But when he understands by good association that it is only a repetition of the same thing, and he is awakened to his real Krishna consciousness, he is sometimes relieved from such repetitive so-called happiness. Text 37. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Purport. In the pursuit of self-realization, one has to follow many rules and regulations to control the mind and the senses, and to concentrate the mind on the self. All these procedures are very difficult, bitter like poison. But if one is successful in following the regulations and comes to the transcendental position, he begins to drink real nectar and he enjoys life. Finally, text 38. That happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their sense objects, and which appears like nectar at first but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. Purport. A young man and a young woman meet, and the senses drive the young man to see her, to touch her, and to have sexual intercourse. In the beginning, this may be very pleasing to the senses, but at the end, or after some time, it becomes just like poison. They are separated, or there is divorce, there is lamentation, there is sorrow, etc. Therefore, such happiness is always in the mode of passion. Happiness derived from a combination of the senses and the sense objects is always a cause of distress. It should be avoided by all means.
So it's the nature of passion that appears to be like pleasure in the beginning. It appears like nectar. But after some time, it becomes very distasteful. And that's the situation with so many things, just like youth. In the mode of passion, one is very joyful when he's youthful and proud to display his youthful body, to use it, to exploit it. But then soon, youth is gone, and now he gets old age. And it's like poison, because he's become attached. Whenever we become attached to something, or whenever we enjoy something material, that in itself is a cause of distress. Because now I have developed an attachment to something that is not good. Just like the classic example is heroin. One becomes addicted to something that is unhealthy and is not good for him. Even though there may be some so-called pleasure in the temporary situation, but actually it's detrimental. Everything in the material world is like that. Every time we become attached to anything here. Unless it's seen in relationship with Krishna. Now, if it's seen in relationship with Krishna, then it doesn't bind. That's why Krishna has given us some opportunity to live in this world and to appreciate things like the sun, the moon, the tastes of water, the different animals such as the lion and the fish. We can contemplate these things to some extent, keeping in mind that they are representatives of Krishna. The sun and the moon. Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. I'm the taste of water. I'm the original fragrance of the earth. So that means we can appreciate these things as Krishna, not separately. The materialists, they don't think of Krishna when they smell something pleasant or something unpleasant, they don't remember Krishna. When they buy perfume in the duty-free shop, they're not thinking, oh, this is the fragrance of Krishna. This is, no. They're thinking, far away, put God out of the picture. Now we're going to enjoy it. Well, this is the mode of passion. And ignorance. Ignorance, a person is so overwhelmed by that dark mode that he can't, it's hard for him to stay awake even. He just, his most enjoyable time is if he can just go to sleep, forget everything. Because staying awake is miserable. He has a hard time competing with those in the mode of passion, and he has no intelligence like those in the mode of goodness, so competitively speaking, he has a difficult time rising to the top. So he cannot go at the top, but if he goes to sleep, then he can dream or forget everything. Sometimes in his dreams, he may be very successful. Or at least he can forget the disgrace that he's living in now. Or if he takes intoxication, he can hallucinate and enjoy some kind of artificially induced pleasure. It's not real pleasure of the soul. It's artificial, just like if someone injects some drug into our body, then it will have an effect. Maybe certain drugs will cause convulsions. Certain drugs will cause vomiting. Certain drugs will cause derangement of the brain. Certain drugs will cause immediate death. So similarly, by some artificial chemical arrangement, he tries to find some happiness. But when he's sober again or without the influence of the intoxication, he's miserable. That's ignorance. Passion, he's always striving hard to get ahead, to be successful. He's got lots of enthusiasm. He's out jogging and he's planning a new business and he's flying off to a family reunion to see the grandchildren. He never thinks that soon he's going to be finished. He's too busy making plans and trying to execute, enjoying, buying a new car. He's apparently successful. He's a competitor. He's ready to take on other competitors. This is the mode of passion. And earlier Krishna was explaining that they can't decide what is to be done and what is not to be done. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. It's like now in America, they have these debates. Is abortion right or is it wrong? They can't decide because they're in the mode of passion. And some people say, yeah, I think it's right. I think it's wrong. It's a woman's right to choose. And they're always debating. Is homosexuality, should they be married? Yes, no, we're not sure. Mode of passion. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. Is marijuana should be legalized? Yes, no, we don't know. So in this way, they can never, those in the mode of ignorance, they're sure, but they're always sure wrong. Completely opposite of the scriptures. They take truth to be untruth and untruth to be truth. Just everything backwards. What is night for the self-realized soul is daytime for those in the modes of ignorance. And those in the mode of goodness, they always go in the right direction because they consider scriptural injunctions as supreme. Therefore, their intelligence is always guided. Shastra Chakshusha. They don't consider whether they think this is right or they think it's wrong or they feel. They act on the basis that whatever the scripture says, because these are higher authorities. They have more purity. They have knowledge. And so we can see how the modes work, how they're affecting people, and then we can also tell the future what's going to happen. Because those in the mode of passion, what's going to happen after a while? They'll enjoy now, but they'll suffer later. And those in the mode of goodness, they may undergo some austerity now. They may refrain from certain enjoyable things, just like we all know the children at school. So most of the children are out playing and not doing their school homework, but there's always a few. They're doing their homework while the others are out playing. So those that are out playing, afterwards, when they get out of school, then they didn't get much education. They weren't very serious, so. But those who went to school and they attentively did their studies, then they will enjoy later on. This is, of course, a material example, but still there is such a thing as goodness, and we can see the results. This is talking about the material world, how things are working. Goodness, passion, ignorance. So one may say, well, what is it? Should I try to act in the mode of goodness? Yes, we should act in the mode of goodness, but not ordinary scriptures should be considered, but transcendental scriptures. And the goal should not simply be ordinary knowledge or self-realization, but Krishna consciousness. Then that type of goodness is pure goodness. Because as we've been discussing, even goodness is relative to the material world and it's binding. Any questions?
I've heard that a devotee can be in the mode of ignorance and also passion. So I was wondering, sometimes I've spoken with devotees and they say that in the beginning Krishna consciousness was a lot of fun and it was really exciting and just like nectar. And then they're saying that, but now some time has passed and it's become a little tougher and I'm not as enthusiastic and it's not as easy to engage in devotional service with as much enthusiasm. So could you say that a devotee could be engaging in devotional service in the mode of passion and that in the beginning it would be a lot of fun, but then due to his passionate nature it would become less enjoyable?
The Kapila Dev describes devotional service performed in passion and ignorance. Basically, it means it's mixed. It means he's trying to do some service, which is the most divine thing. He wants to serve the Lord, but he also wants to have material sense gratification from it. So he's mixing. For example, if he's very proud of his intelligence, then he wants to serve the Lord, but he wants to be known as a famous philosopher. He cannot just accept the instructions of the scriptures. It's too painful for him, because he thinks, but I'm so intelligent, how can I just accept what every other person who has no intelligence? I have so much greater intelligence, how can I just accept the same thing that those of lesser intelligence are accepting? This is an insult. So, instead, he makes up a new philosophy. He has to. Because he's pushed by the modes of nature. Some goodness, some passion, and some ignorance. He wants to be known as the greatest philosopher, the greatest devotee. So, now if someone says Krishna consciousness was very delightful in the beginning, and now it's not, well, that just means he's not practicing as strictly as he was before. It just means more is expected also. It's like a child. Child only has to learn 1 plus 1 equals 2. You can say, oh, it was so easy when I was a child. Just had to learn 1 plus 1 equals 2. Now, when you get older, you have to learn more things. You have to build on that. But if you want to remain just addition, you don't want to grow, then you're stunted. That's considered to be a person who's, what is it? What's the word they say? Well, retarded. He's retarded. He can't go any further. His intelligence is that of a 10-year-old or 8-year-old. He's retarded. So, if your spiritual life gets retarded, that means that your material life has resumed again. Because they're opposite. If one diminishes, the other increases. And if one, the other one increases, then it's not that he becomes retarded in both. They're an indirect relationship. Because if he's doing less devotional service, then he must be doing more material engagement. Whether it's ignorance, passion, or goodness, he's doing more of it. So it just means if someone says, I was enjoying it more, but now it's not, the taste isn't there. But that means the taste for material things has increased. By contemplating the objects of the senses, jayate ovishayam pungsam, sangate shupajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodha bijayate. Then he develops attachment and lust. So now he's lusting after the material things.
Is it possible for one to be engaging in devotional service and say without increasing his devotional service, but maybe staying steady in his devotional service, but still have material desires increasing?
No. No, then it means his, because if material desires are increasing, then his spiritual desires are lacking. So we have to be very, that's why we have to be very careful. As you say, we may feel, well, I'm maintaining. But maintaining is not the safest position to be in. It's like if you're going up a hill, let's say you're on an incline, and you have the brakes on. So you're maintaining. You're not going down, you're not going up. But that's not a very, it's not a very safe position to be in. Because at any moment, if the brakes slip, you're down again. So the best position is to be going up strongly. Then you can cross over the mountain. Otherwise, at any moment, there's a chance you can slip back. And then you're down in the valley and you can't get out. So, we should always be engaged. Therefore, it said, utsahan. Nishchaya daryat, enthusiasm, determination, and patience. We cannot expect to get immediately the highest realization, but we should not be tolerant of the lowest realization. We should be moving upward. At a gradual, shanai shanai uparamed, Krishna says, gradually, step by step, going forward, just as one walks, he takes one step, takes one foot, puts the other. So on that way, step by step, adho shraddha in the beginning, some faith, tata saru sangha, association with devotees, and bhajana kriya, executing the process of devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Then anartanavritti, giving up unwanted bad habits. And then he becomes nishta, steady. Means he's not afraid that am I going to bloop today. In the beginning, someone may not know whether he'll bloop today or next week, or if you ask him, are you think you'll be doing this for the rest of your life? He says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. That means he's not nishta yet. He's not steady. And it's dangerous because wherever he goes, if Maya makes him a good offer, he may take it. But he's not steady. But one who's steady, he knows, he's already contemplated Maya's offers. He already knows what they are. He's already considered, and he's in his mind, in his intelligence, he's fixed. No, I don't want, even if they offer me, even if Maya offers me right now $1 million or $1 billion and beautiful and fame, but no, if I have to compromise my devotional service, I won't accept it. So that's steady. So this is a scientific process. One should be examining to see, is he making progress? Watching the signs? Am I going forward? Am I getting closer to the goal? And Prabhupada has given some, not only Prabhupada, but the other acharyas have given some guidelines. We can see if we're losing our attachment to sense gratification. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These are the principles of sense gratification. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if he saw that his disciples were becoming fat, he would criticize them. Oh, you're becoming bogies, enjoyers. Now that's not the only criterion, but it's one criteria. Or if one's sleeping too much, or is becoming attracted to the opposite sex, either in a gross way or even subtle. Subtle means profit, adoration, and distinction. That's subtle sex life. So, if he's trying to accumulate money, he's thinking, someone's saying, so can you please distribute books for Krishna? And he's thinking, well, how much money can I make from it? So that means he's profit-oriented. That's subtle sex life. He's thinking, if I get money, then I can have sense gratification. So these are some things to be aware of. The weeds, offending devotees, speaking harshly, lazy. We've lost our taste, or we don't have a taste for hearing, for reading, or hearing class. So then, that means Maya is getting us. Now it doesn't mean we should give up. It just means we should redouble our determination and try to get some help. Just like when one gets sick, you see some symptom of sickness. Oh, I'm feeling weak. I've got a fever. Doesn't mean he just gives up and okay, I'll just die. No, you go to someone who can help. He'll say, this is not normal, you need to do this, or something. He finds out the problem. So this is the association of devotees. Devotees are there to help us, to keep us in a healthy spiritual state. And sometimes our superiors, they may correct us. And when they correct us, it's actually good, it's kindness. And we should accept it as Krishna's mercy. Because it's like if a doctor, you may be visiting a friend and there may be a doctor there, and you have some growth on your neck and you don't think anything of it, but the doctor says, hey, let me see that. And he looks and says, this is serious. You better deal with this. So that's the best advice you got at the party. Because he is giving you the benefit of his expertise. Others didn't notice it. They said, oh, well, it's just a growth. Don't worry, it'll go away. But he said, that's serious. So the devotees are they have the knowledge. They can point out. So whenever a devotee, a senior devotee, gives us some mercy in the form of advice, we should take it very seriously. It's for our benefit. Any other questions? You have a question? Murti has a question. No question. No question. All right. So. Okay.
Can spiritual advancement ever be painful?
Can spiritual advancement be painful? Yes. That's what Krishna is saying here. In the beginning, it tastes like bitter, like poison. But in the end, it's like nectar. So it can be a little painful. Getting up early. You know, that few moments when one is trying to get up early, it seems like, oh no, if I just went back to sleep, I'd be so happy. Getting up, it's going to disturb my whole equilibrium. If I just went back to sleep, I'd be happy. So there's a little bit of pain, but then, or chanting our rounds. Sometimes it's painful because we don't have love for Krishna. So to chant Krishna's name, it's a kind of struggle for us. It's a little painful. But the example is given that when one takes the medicine for jaundice, it's sweet, but it tastes bitter. So the doctor says, eat this sweet thing, and he says, it's bitter. He says, no, you take it. You're diseased right now. So on the word of the doctor, he accepts it. The bitter taste. But as he gets cured from his disease, it becomes sweet again. So that much faith is required. Some confidence. It's like running. Everyone knows if they've done some running. It's painful. You're running for hours, miles. It's not, you know, it's hard and it's, but you know this is building your stamina, putting you in shape so that when you're in your performance or whatever, you'll be able to sustain. So you have to think, not just the immediate. But they say, no pain, no gain. A little pain. When you see the young boys and girls enjoying, it's painful because you think, I could be there. I could also be out there enjoying with them. So it's a little painful. Think, look, I have to. They're going out at night and I'm going to bed at 9 o'clock. What am I, a sissy or something? I'm a little boy now. Before I used to be free, I could stay out late enjoying. Now I'm going to bed at 9, 10 o'clock. What have I become? A little pussycat? So, you know, for a virile man, he's thinking, I don't like this. I'm restricting myself. I want to be free. So it's painful. Thinking, now I'm becoming demasculinized. Now I'm just some, you know, docile monk. Like a nun, you know, no enjoyment. So it's a little painful if we allow our minds to go off like that. But we should bring it back wherever and whatever the mind wanders, one should bring it back and fix it on the self. Say, wait a minute, what am I thinking? I don't want to be out with like them drinking. What about tomorrow morning? Huh. Tomorrow morning they're going to be with a hangover, a headache. They'll be sleeping until 10, 11, 12 in the morning. I'll be up. I'll be chanting my rounds. I'll be seeing the deity. I'll be having Bhagavatam class. And they'll be just in a stupor. And they'll be miserable also. Oh, how much money I spent. Plus they're ruining their body, ruining their minds. So many things. So you have to use intelligence. Fix it on the self. Why should I be hankering to do what they're doing? I just have to think what's going to happen next. Yes, I may be going to bed early, like a little boy, but I'll be up early too, chanting like a saint. Shri Shri Gaurani Thai Ki Jai. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Bhagavad Gita ki jai.